This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
So, this weekend I went for a hike up a mountain. Okay, technically, I think it's what locals call a hill, but we're going to go with mountain because it took 3 hours. 3 hours. I am practically Bear Grylls.
Tone after the tone, after the tone, leave your name.
Hello and welcome back. Hi. Of course, you know you're tuned into After the Tone because you've searched it and pressed play. It's not like the radio. You just haven't stumbled across it. Across it? Anyway, this is a weekly affair in which me, Scotty, and my mates Debbie, Tim and Maya allow you to leave messages on the After the Tone burner phone. And, well, I mean, you supposedly steer the conversation and I supposedly have something to say about it. This is, however, the penultimate show of the series, which, I mean, I've just about made it, to be fair. 8 shows down, 2 more to go, and then, including this one, this is, anyway. And then I'm having a little break from you all because, I mean, you're ever so fucking demanding, aren't you? And, you know, I know what happens to Princess Diana in the end, so, you know, I'll get myself out while I can. Now, next week will be the After the Tone birthday. Yeah, we're going to be one. That's right. A whole fucking year of entertaining you, shower of insert expletive here. Now, I think the least you could do is call up and wish us happy birthday. One. But I think we'd also love it if you could call up and let us know, like, tragic birthday party stories, shit birthdays, parties you had as a kid that went wrong, rubbish presents, teenage parties that you sort of made a bit of a show of yourself, anything in that genre of birthday / party would be wonderful. And at the end of the show, I'll give you the numbers and the instructions of how you get that story to us. Anyway, back to me. I mentioned at the top there that I did a hike. Now, there was one kind of semi-good reason why I decided I thought I'd do this. And I think any faggot that lives near a hill can testify that all of gay Tinder is just pictures of very plain homosexuals, like, you know, the sort, light wash denim, triangle tattoo, possibly identifies as a plant dad. No, thank you. You know, on a hill, in a North Face jacket, pretending to be like a heterosexual man on a Saturday. Honestly, rabid. Rabid? Is that a word? Anyway, it's everywhere on gay Tinder. So I thought, well, you know, if it's good enough for them, I thought, well, I want a picture on a hill. No, don't get me wrong. It was lovely. It was a lovely experience, honestly. But it's not that exciting to be a personality trait. It's just walking. it's like saying breathing is an Olympic sport, Hans. It really isn't, babe. You know, it's very much, it seems very much the pastime for the sort of gays that dedicate their life to Disney. You know the sort. And I haven't got the heart to tell them that, like, they just put rainbows on Mickey just to make money out of the gays. It's not that Mickey's an ally. It's not even real, trigger warning. And do you know what? When I was doing the walk, I thought I'd really love the lesbian community to reclaim walking boots. I feel like gay men walking up hills is lesbian erasure, and I think it has to be stopped. So I'm just putting that out there. So maybe you want to call up with a walking story. Who knows? Right. Anyway, that's enough for me. It's time to listen to how exciting you lot are, supposedly. Expectations are very low. Tim is on the buttons again this week. Tim, oh, come on, love, do your worst.
Hello, Scotty and producer Deb. This is Fanny, long-time listener, few-time caller. I still want a fucking badge. Yeah, do it. How are you? I hope you're doing well. I'm calling because I had jaw surgery on Friday. It was quite intense, and I'm just laying in bed recuperating and catching up on series 4. And you're all having a chat about food, and it's making me really fucking hungry because I am on soup for the next 2 weeks, and I am pretty bored of it already. It's only been a few days. Anyway, it got me thinking about the best carb I've ever eaten. And I think it was biscuits and gravy in this vegan cafe in Brooklyn. And it was just so, so tasty. I think it was like called the Cat's Whiskers or something. I can't remember. But it was really fucking good. And I'm just here dreaming about it. And my belly's rumbling. And I just want some carbs. That's it, really. I just wanted to sort of share my desire to eat lots of carbs. Pray for me. Ta-ra.
Oh, hi, Fanny. How are you? Listen, I know people, you know, this is the one thing that people always ask me when they see me in real life, because contrary to popular belief, I am actually a real human being and not just a hologram. People always say, is there a badge? Can I have a badge? There is no, it's a proverbial badge. I haven't got the time to be sat there with a badge machine making badges for you lot that are literally just going to be on one of those rucksacks from Sweden, because I know you've all got those rucksacks. You know, the ones that come in funny colours and they've got, like, is it like a cat or a rabbit on the front of it? Anyway, you've all got those, haven't you? And what part of that commerce makes me feel excited? None of it. No one's having a fucking badge. Anyway, first-time caller, long-time listener, badge there for you. Jaw surgery, soup for 2 weeks. It's like prison, isn't it? One of my favourite genres of food from the Americas, of the Norths, is biscuits and gravy. Big fan. Now, if unlike me and Fanny, if you're not very well-travelled, and you live over this side of the water, you might not know what biscuits and gravy are. You might be thinking, I'm sorry, they dip a rich tea into gravy. Oh, no, 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 no. A biscuit over that way is a sort of scone that's been covered in butter. And when I say covered, I mean it's basically butter with a bit of flour to hold it together. It's beautiful, it's crispy, it's fluffy, it's delicious, and it soaks up gravy. Now, if you're a person who eats meat, or, you know, you never know, as I think Fanny mentioned there, you know, there are other varieties, so probably a vegan version. It's basically sausage and gravy. So if you think of, like, really filthy sausage with a really thick gravy with really nice scones, it sounds mental, but actually they really fucking know what they're doing. I think it's from the South. So there you go. Look, what a cultured podcast. Giving you a culinary tour already.
First of all, I'm just going to say, when I called in last time, the one about my operation and stuff, I sent that in the week before, so technically I should only have one strike about the newbies' names. Thank you, Scotty. So I take one back. Thank you. Anyway, hi, Scotty. Hi, producer Deb. Hi, Tim. Hi, Maya. It's Fran here. How are we all doing? It's really interesting listening to the pod and what self-care looks like, actually, and what being kinder and nicer to yourself is. And I think it's really easy to be kind of swept up with Instagram being like, oh, a bubble bath and doing your nails and a face mask and stuff is great self-care. And I think I describe that as sort of like the superficial stuff. It's sort of like the really nice, easy, basic stuff. But actually, self-care can be like quite hard and uncomfortable and difficult. And sometimes it's therapy or it's asserting boundaries and having uncomfortable conversations. Or it can also be accepting like good stuff happening and being open and willing to receive that and not think that you're undeserving. I think it's in its most truest form, I guess, self-worth and self-love and being like, actually, no, good stuff happens and I deserve it and I'm worth it. It's one of those words that you just think, oh, you hear self-care, but actually it's so important. And I think this podcast helps me massively in reminding myself just to be even a tiny bit kinder and softer and nicer to myself. And I've said it before, I think hearing myself back and hearing other people on the pod, it does kind of make me stop and check in with myself and be like, am I actually, how am I treating myself? And the other thing I wanted to pick up on, the whole ergonomically designed thing, I loved hearing about how you inspired someone to like start riding a bike as someone in a bigger body, as a fat person. I can't ride a bike and I think it's now become a mental block that I'm like, I'm too big to, or I was too big to, and I'm now in a bit of a smaller body. I think there's so much tied up in that. And actually, I think the reason as a kid I kind of latched onto the idea of I'm not ergonomically designed to do a forward roll, I actually think is kind of my internalized like fat phobia towards myself. I believed what I was told, that I couldn't do it. And because I didn't see anyone doing it, it wasn't like I had those role models. Anyway, I'm really rambling now. But yeah, I still can't ride a bike. Every time I've tried a couple of times, and every time I try, I put my foot down instead of like actually like pedaling. I just put my foot on the floor as if I'm going to fall. And then the other big thing, I'm so sorry, guys, I'm really rambling, so just edit this shit. But I just want, it's a bit of a PSA, really. Everyone, if you've got any like funky looking moles, or even if they don't look funky, just go and get them checked out, because I'd been nagged to for ages and didn't bother because, you know, that stupid COVID thing kind of got in the way. But I went to doctors and I've just had a mole removed on my back because they said there were some changes. So it wasn't really nasty yet, but better to be safe than sorry. So this is my reminder to everyone, wear your sunscreen, even if you have got Mediterranean skin and you tan really easily. Just wear your sunscreen all the time, please, and get your moles checked out. All right, I hope everyone's gonna be a little bit kinder and nicer to themselves, and I'm gonna go and have a nap because my back hurts from this mole removal. Anyway, bye.
Hello, Fran. Very aggressive start there, very on brand for you. Now, you know how I feel about self-care. I think self-care, as you allude to, can often be very capitalist, can't it? It can often be like, buy this thing, make this thing, do this thing, but it requires you to buy it. So if you buy this thing, it'll make you feel better. And, you know, I've been having lots of conversations with myself over the last few weeks about what the difference between self-care and self-maintenance is, because there are certain care practices in which I have to enable upon myself, which are just about keeping going. They're not about luxury, which in my head, my therapist always finds this funny. I have this relationship with self-care that it feels superfluous. Been a while since she said a clever word. They feel sort of luxury, additional, add-on. Because actually I think some of the time I'm just trying to think, I'll tell you what I'm trying to think. Trigger one, I'm going to talk about suicide. you know, I'm trying to think that I didn't make somebody kill themselves. That's quite a common presentation for my OCD and anxiety, is that I'll convince myself that I'm such a horrible person, that somebody has killed themselves because they don't like me. Very weird. It's such a weird presentation, which when I say now, I can sort of laugh about, but when it happens, it feels very, very real. That actually a bath bomb isn't really going to take the edge off of that. Sorry, Kathy, can I just take 2 minutes? I just need to get into a bath that smells of patchouli, and that will really take the edge off. You know, in moments like that, I need, you know, therapy and all the rest of it. So, yeah, self-care. It's not like I want to deny anybody self-care, but I'm also a bit like, most of the things that I need to do are about things that keep me going rather than things that are to do with softness. That doesn't mean that I don't think people don't deserve softness. I'm always on about that. So, yeah. Anyway, I think bikes are for everybody, and that's why stabilizers were inventive. You could maybe think, Fran, about a trike. They're very fashionable at the moment. A trike is a bike with 3 wheels, and it gives you a lovely little bit at the back that you can put your bits and bobs in, so you can go down the shops and get your bits and then put them in the back. Because most bike shops will give you like an hour to do like a test ride and will allow you to like try it out, etc. So I'm all about it. And yes, big advocate for skin cancer awareness. My granddad died of skin cancer, and my dad had to have facial reconstruction surgery because of skin cancer. Me and my mum have got very Irish skin, but we've got that Irish skin which has lots of freckles and moles, but not like, you know, like ginger freckles, like dark sort of Mediterranean freckles, moles. I think it is a throwback from my nan. So yeah, I'm a big advocate of, like, do you know what? I just think, seeing my dad's facial reconstruction surgery, where they created, like, they took a piece of his forehead to reconstruct his nose, I was like, I'm just going to put on a moisturiser with SPF. It's just not worth it. So if there's any story, if that's going to encourage anybody, you know, do you want your forehead to be reconstructed as a nose? No, in which case, get yourself down to the store and get yourself a moisturiser with an SPF, please.
Oh, Scotty, hiya, Babs. Right, it's Pauline. Sorry I've been out the loop. I've had workmen coming and going. Oh, bringing all sorts of straight energy into this house. Oh, it's been upsetting me in my chakras. Right, so, work-wise, hallelujah, think I found my niche, HR. Because I'm a nosy bitch, I want to know your business, and I can fake sympathy. Oh, and if you want a shit story, right, how about this? So, me and my old man, plot twist, it's Brett from sunny South Wales, yes, the one who shat on the doorstep as a kid. Well, we were having a birthday lunch and I took him down the smoke and it was this Swiss restaurant. Oh, I wish I didn't. Oh, we had this, it wasn't exactly fondue because it weren't cheese, but it was like a soup. And they, you know, you got your raw meat and they cracked an egg in it. And I thought, oh, this is lovely, like a gravy soup. Walking halfway down bloody Marylebone, oh my god, Niagara Falls, and could I find a public bog? Could I? Bollocks. So I had to rush into H&M, and yes, I know what you're thinking. And I bloody did, didn't I? Yeah, on with those new placky pants, and bugger what happened to the rest of them. Don't look at me like that. I can feel your eyes, but shame, not in my game. All right, Babs. Speak to you soon. All right, bye.
Lovely Pauline's back. Hello, Pauline. I know what you mean about that straight energy. It takes a lot of joystick energy to get it back out the house again. You have to do that smudging, don't you? And FYI, that's not a dirty gay thing, straight people listening, if there's any. Smudging was when you get the sage out and you, like, cleanse the room. Now, I'm quite perturbed by the fact that you, Pauline, live with Brett from sunny South Wales. Avid listeners will know that Brett from South Wales has called in for the last couple of weeks with the energy of what can only be matched to, Carol Smiley, if you recall who Carol Smiley was from Changing Rooms. That sort of like, I'm an upbeat television personality and nothing will get me down. And Pauline, I just wonder how that works. I would very much like to encourage, before the end of the series, perhaps you and Brett, if you are ever in the same room with each other and you're not thinking, this person is far too optimistic for me. Because Pauline, let's say as it is, I think you're a bit of a Debbie Downer. And that's okay, because I think we're cut from the same cloth. It would be lovely to hear you call in and maybe have a little chat with each other about, you know, does Brett get on your nerves? Brett seems like an endless optimist. And Pauline, I know yin and yang and all of that. I know this isn't what we should be focusing on. We should be focusing on the fact that you shut yourself in H&M. But there just feels like I could be a couples counsellor here. Just putting it out there, Pauline.
Hi, Scotty. Hi, producer Deb. Hi, Tim. Hi, Maya. It is Grace. I didn't leave my name last time. Apologies. But my name is Grace. I called in last time for some advice about supporting my sibling who came out as non-binary last year. Thank you so much for your lovely words, Scotty. Really meant a lot. Really meant a lot. I've just been listening to Nana JRF, lovely Nana JRF. I'm so happy that you're having a good moment. I've been through some low lows, some low lows. I actually just finished therapy last week. I've been in therapy for 7 years. I'm so privileged to have been able to have therapy for 7 years. But it's been fucking intense, and I had it because I really, really needed it. And I just wanted to share how good life is right now, and how good it and how much better it's become as a result of all that work and learning to take good care of myself that I've been doing. It feels like a dream remembering how bad it used to be. So please, please keep fighting it. Keep learning, keep self-caring and loving yourselves, because, this podcast means so much. As an update, actually, on my sibling. Well, actually, yeah, this is a huge update, actually. Called in last time, a month ago, to talk about how difficult it is for my sibling and how much they want hormones, but they can't get them. And it was their birthday actually yesterday, and so I was on the phone with them, and they told me that our parents have caved and are paying for them to go private, and they should be able to get the HRT that they need. They're going to be starting on estrogen, hopefully in December if all goes well, which is incredible. It's incredible. Actually, on a bit of a downer note, to be honest, it also makes me angry, because how lucky are we as a privileged family, you know, as a white middle class family who happened to be able to afford private mental health care and private trans health care when we needed it. And actually, that makes me really fucking angry. It's really disgusting. It's really disgusting. Fuck the Tories. Fuck the Tories, but love you guys. I want to end on a positive note. So yeah, thanks. Love you. Bye.
Hi, Grace. How are you? I'm so glad you called back, actually. Very glad you called back, because it's lovely to get an update about your sibling there. And do you know what? It's just so adorable. I know, I'm not saying that your bar is low here, Grace, but I'm saying, you know, sometimes the bar collectively can be really low, that when you hear just a bit of like trans joy, a bit of trans acceptance, it just makes you think, oh my God, this is the best. But I mean, I think you would agree, like, this is the way it should be. And I really loved your last call where you were just like, what can I do? How can I? Like, you just wanted to go above and beyond to make sure that they felt okay. And so it's really lovely to see your influence on the family, you know, that the family are now like, I love that you said caved. My parents have caved. So brilliant that they are getting the support that they need, finally. And what a beautiful sibling that you're being as well within that. You finished therapy. I tell you what, my first thoughts when you said that was, I'm fucking jealous. How do you do it? How do you clock it? What's the cheat? Up, up, down, up, down, up, 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 down. I can't remember what you used to do on Sega Mega Drive to cheat. But yeah, well, 7 years. I mean, you've done your time. That's like a sentence, isn't it? But yeah, it's that thing about knowing when is the right time to walk away, but also knowing when the right time might be to revisit it. But I do think you need a bit of a break from it. I have it every 2 weeks, and I've been in for 2 and a bit years now. And yeah, it's a lot. Sometimes before therapy, I feel really reluctant. I'm like, I don't want to do this. And I sit there just before the Zoom, because I do mine on Zoom. And I think to myself, I don't want to do this. I don't want to talk about this stuff. I don't want to do this. And then it happens. And I'm like, oh my God, I love this. This is the best thing. You know, I want to like start wearing therapy badges, because I wouldn't mind making therapy badges, everybody. Well, Grace, lovely to hear from you. Do let us know how the journey outside of therapy goes. And I'm sure Nana JRF will hear your comments and no doubt will add to her ego. Still to come, there is a confectionery-related minor tragedy, a super shit story, oh, brace yourself, and there's a very special surprise message. Oh, that's got me peaked. Oh, I can't wait for that. But before that, this week on the Internet RJ, otherwise known as Instagram, I did a little bit of a post about ATT, and because I just wanted to say, you know, what After the Tone means to me. And didn't you say some nice things? Oh, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to read out a couple. Lovely Callum here says that, honestly, this show has been a bit of a queer lifeline for my mental health over the past couple of months. You and me both, lovely. Orla says, as one of the quiet ones nursing a pint in the corner, thanks for the space you've created together. Oh, bless ya. Oh, yeah, I understand that. But you know what? I always forget that there's people listening. I just thought it was like me and the person who's phoned up, but no, there's quite a few of you, isn't there? And Ella says, it's provided me with the queer lifeline that I've needed for a long time. Friends I don't really know, but friends I don't know what I'd do without. Oh, bless ya. Oh, God, don't get me going. Thank you. Honestly, from all of us here at After the Tone Towers, we've been dealing with lots of different external things, all of different corners of our lives. And when we put these into the group WhatsApp, it really cheered us up and spurred us on. So thank you so much. Remember, if you'd also like to say anything lovely about, you know, Tim, Debbie, Maya, mainly me, please. Get on the internet, hashtag After the Tone POD, just as Boy with Pen did, who's currently running to fundraise for Epilepsy Action, and said, honestly, I thought I was going to have a meltdown around the eighth mile, but then I was listening to After the Tone and the Cov sharting story came on and I got a laughter boost to the end. I'm saving the next episodes for the race so I can have a laugh if I hit a wall. Oh, God. Well, good on you. Congratulations. I'm glad you got through the wall. And all the best from us over here to you over there getting your running legs on. And let us know how it goes. We'd love to know. Remember, we are a self-funded space and rely on your donations to keep the lights on. If you fancy buying us a drink to say thanks, head over to patreon.com/afterthetone. And for as little as £1 a month, you can help us make sure that we will be here for a new series. Right, let's get back to the action, kids.
Hiya, Scotty, love. It's Nana JRF. Hello, love. How are you? Hello, producer Deb, and hello, Tim, and hello, Maya, and hello, the ATT crew. Yeah, Nana was happy last week. I'm still happy now, but I'm so glad that I recorded that message when I did, and I'm able to hear it back, because it really helps. It's a funny one, because on Tuesday, the 10th of August, is my birthday, and I'm 39 years young. I'm as old as my gums, but I'm a little bit older than my teeth. Yeah, it's a strange one. I won't go into the gory details about the strangeness about my birthday. But yeah, there's a lot of trauma connected to it, obvs, because of my family. And my mom, lol. Life sort of goes on okay-ish. Like, yeah, there are things that trigger me, you know, having PTSD or CPTSD. I've recently been reading about complex post-traumatic stress disorder. But it's so weird because it's when there are timestamps, like a birthday, the birthday of the parent or the family member, or yeah, it's just really difficult. It's the idea of my birthday is a lot more difficult than the actual day, because when the day comes, there's like a huge sense of relief, like, oh, thank God it's here. But it's knowing that it reminds me of my mom, because obviously she was integral to me being here. And though we've not spoken since I was 20, yeah, it's funny how it brings you back to them. But anyway, I will be doing some nice things for my birthday. I'll be spending some time with some lovely friends, and we shall be having some cake. And I'm going to go and spend the night in Glasgow, and someone's going to take care of my little cat while I'm away. So yeah, I will have a nice time. But yeah, that's what I've been thinking about. Just, yeah, it's that strange thing, isn't it? It's a lot easier to celebrate someone else's birthday than your own. Or I find that anyway. And it's weird because you would think, oh, you know, as a fellow person who loves being the centre of attention, I'm not just, sorry if I'm making any assumptions about your personality, but yeah, you would be like, oh no, you must really love your birthday. And it isn't, it's actually something that I really don't. But anyway, love and light, God bless, sweethearts. And yeah, big love from that JRF. Bye.
Oh, hello, Nana. Listen. Oh, look at that. Sorry, we just got a ding at the same time. It's serendipitous. Maybe it means that was my technology saying happy birthday to you. I wanted to start off by saying that you're a survivor, lovely. And I really hear everything of which you say. And the emotions that landmarks can bring up. And I just wanted to really recenter this and say happy birthday to you. So happy birthday. And thank you so much for all the contributions that you give to this space. And, you know, we call you Nana, not just in years, darling, but in temperament and in care and, you know, the joy that you bring to people online. And I know you've spoken a lot about meeting Art of the Tone listeners on the internet, and you know, just that care that you have for everybody that you come into contact with, I think we're all very grateful for. So I just wanted to throw that back to you on this, that day, your birthday, because I am recording it on your birthday. Center of attention, you cheeky bitch. I'm very shy, very demure. The question that I'm left with is cake. You mentioned cake. What cake? You know me, you can't come in this room and tell me, like, genres of cake. I need to know specifics, please, JRF.
Hiya, Scotty. Hiya, Debs. Hiya, Tim. Hiya, Maya. How's it going? It's Nat here. I've got a minor tragedy for you. So my partner is a night manager at a hotel. So, you know, he sees some shit. But a bonus of him working in a nice fancy hotel is that there's lots of free biscuits knocking around. And because he obviously loves me very much, he always gets me the best biscuits. And Viennese Wells, as we all know, are fucking dong, but they are expensive. So nobody's buying that shit. So I say to him, can you nick me some? And he does, because he's a fucking legend. But minor tragedy is, because he's got 5 days off work, I ain't got no fucking Viennese in stock. So what am I going to do? I've got to buy this shit? Nah.
I just want to say, Nat, considering you joined the conversation this season and you started off with quite a nervous phone call, bless you, which is quite common for people, and was like, I've listened for a long time, I just never had the courage. Well, I love that you're a regular. We've broken the seal with you now. We've popped and you can't stop. And this is active. This is active encouragement. So more of this behaviour, please. And if you too are being sat on your hands at home, take inspiration from Nat here, who is like really taking the bull by the horns. So more of that behaviour. Now, isn't that lovely that you've got a loving partner who will bring you free biscuits? Chance to be a fine thing over here. I can't tell you how happy I am that you are a Viennese well person, because I'm also, sorry, the sun in the room has just come out whilst I said that. It was very dark and rainy in here, and all of a sudden it's very bright and sunny, which is a sign. I'm taking that from the Jesus our God, our Lord, that they also like a Viennese well. I love a Viennese well. I tell you what, I love more than a Viennese well that comes in a plastic tray. One in which you're in such a fancy establishment, they've done homemade Viennese wells, so they're almost the size of your hand. I feel I need a Viennese well. I haven't had a Viennese well in 10 years, and you're worried about not having it for 5 days. I've got to find a Viennese well.
Hi, Scotty, producer Deb, Tim and Maya. It's my second time calling, but this time it's slightly different. I work in front-facing customer service, and how I respond to people, like particularly attractive people, like perfectly symmetrically faced, conventionally attractive people. Because I've noticed one of my colleagues, he's a unmarried man in his 50s. I've noticed how he responds differently to different women, and he definitely has a type. And there's one woman in particular, and she's a very, very nice lady. He learned her name within like a week of her accessing our service, and makes, you know, a concerted effort to speak to her whenever she's in our building. I've kind of found myself responding in that way too. And I really resent myself for doing it, because I feel invisible a lot of the time, and always have, because I'm a fat. And I've always felt overlooked and ignored and, you know, just disregarded by those very symmetrically faced, conventionally attractive people. But then I respond in the exact same way, like there's some type of hierarchy and I'm at the bottom of it. I really want to be neutral. I just don't want to respond the way I respond, because it's pathetic and unwarranted. Because these people aren't better, or, you know, they deserve better treatment or different treatment to how I treat everybody else. My response confuses me and aggravates me, and I don't want to respond that way anymore. So I'd be interested in your thoughts.
Oh, hi, lovely. It's lovely to hear from you. Second time caller. I appreciate that. Customer service, public facing, I mean, you deserve an award and a badge, because the public are, particularly the general public, they are the most often ranted people of all time. I was in the chemist yesterday, and I just watched this person really kick off at the person behind the till, and I was next. And you could just see that they were like really like a bit shaken by this person kicking off at them. And I was like, hello, you're right. And they were like, yes. And I was like, you know, when you're just like, there is no need for us, particularly now, but never, actually, we don't need the excuse of what we've all gone through to suddenly be kind to each other. People are going back to being real fucking arseholes with each other very quickly, aren't they? Now, if there's anything that I believe in wholeheartedly, and there's not much, it's that attractive people should be ostracised just a little to understand what it feels like to be like the rest of us. And I know I've said that before, but there is truth in that. My mum is like a major empath, so much so that, like, you know, my mum will cry at most things on the television. Very sensitive soul. And it has rubbed off on me and my brother. So much so that my brother always talks about when we were in Sweden a few Christmases ago, we were sat in this vegetarian cafe, as you do, and there was this older person on their own eating, and me... Me and my brother were just like beside ourselves. We were like, oh my God, they've got no one. There's absolutely no one for them. You know, you invent stories for people. So I think I've got the reverse of it, of what you're currently going through, which is if I see anyone who looks like they need a laugh, who looks like they... And, you know, these people... They could be the happiest people ever. I make an assumption on them based on how I interact with them. I'd be like, I am going to make sure that this person has an absolutely lovely time in my presence. Which is essentially after the tone. Now, there was something that you said that really hit home about feeling overlooked. And I'm going to do a bit of real talk now, which is, I know this feeling. And I know this feeling because... Well, recently I've been like trying to navigate, like, you know, moving into a new city and how I feel about that, and, you know, like meeting new people, perhaps meeting new sexual partners, etc. And around me, a lot of my friends seem to not struggle with this in the slightest. They seem to have as trade, you know, now that thing you can have trade with each other. They seem to be on dates, etc. And I have really started to feel like the fat friend in the corner over the last few weeks because, well, I'm not getting an eight. And it has really played into my self-worth, actually. And I know it shouldn't, but you can't help but feel like the fat friend in the corner. So, yeah. Anyway, thank you for calling for a second time. I hope this sort of answers your questions, but if you've got more questions because of it, you know what to do.
Hi, Scotty, Tim, Maya, and producer Deb. I thought I would... I have been a very, very long-term lurker. So I thought I would leave you a little voice note, because I know you love a poo story. So I thought I'd tell you one. So one time, I was living in the seaside, let's say, about an hour away from London, and I needed to get the last train home. So I decided to have quite a few drinks. When I say quite a few, I mean got absolutely battered, can't remember getting on the train. But what I do remember is trying to go for a, let's call it an alco shit, or an alco poo, as you will, on the train. Didn't pull my pants down. Thought I was having a poo in the toilet, was actually pooing in my pants. Got back in my seat on the train and then cried a little bit about why everyone was leaving the train carriage that I was on. And it took me a good 10 minutes to realise what was happening. And then I realised that I was sat in my own shit on the train, really busy from London. About an hour away, busy commute about, wasn't even that late, probably about 10 o'clock at night. So, and then I woke up on a bench at that train station about 3 hours later, being prodded by police with gloves, saying, I think it's time you need to go home now, love. Got in a taxi to get me home, and that taxi charged me £110 and then put newspaper all over the taxi seat because I was covered in my own poo. Yeah, and I'm not going to give you a name because then everyone will know it was me. Okay, love you, bye.
Oh, I think we can laugh about it in retrospect, but the next morning, that must have been a real moment, mustn't it? That must have been a real moment. Long-time lurker, first-time caller, welcome to the gang. Take a seat. We don't have to put any newspaper down. You're fine. Alco poo. Convinced you had your pants around your ankles. Look at that. £110 you were stung. Oh, isn't that awful though? Like, I mean, you can see why people were moving, because the smell of other people's shit. But, oh. That's an excellent story. You definitely win story of the week.
Hi, Scotty. Hi, Debbie. Hi, Tim. Hi, Maya. Can you guess who this is? Yes, it's your mum calling you. So I thought I would, because I've just listened to you, so I thought, oh, I'll go on and leave a message for you. Just a couple of things I wanted to say. Yes, I totally agree that working class people do tips. I think it's because we know that, we know what it feels like to be relying on that money. So I think we, and if we get good service, we like to tip and say thank you. I think we're really great at doing that, and I do it all the time, and I'm glad that you do that. Really pleased that you do that, very proud of you. And secondly, yeah, I know you had a really bad week, and I just wanted to let everybody know how much we love you, admire you, think you're an absolute star. And I'm going to see you very soon for my 60th, and I love you loads. So keep up the great work, and love from your mum. See you soon. Bye now.
Oh, you devil. What is she like? I always forget. I always forget my mum has access to the internet. Oh, my God, how ridiculous is this? Hi, Mum. I like that my mum's put on a bit of a telephone voice as well. Hi, Mum. Thank you so much. Yeah, I have had a bit of a wig, you know that. But she's back. And next week, me and my mum are going to record some things for the podcast, because me and my mum are going to go up for some hikes, some more of them, as if I didn't learn my lessons from this week. So speechless. Absolutely speechless. What I find really weird is when my mum started talking, I was like, oh my God, is it me? I think we sound quite similar. Anyway, Mum, you're not supposed to be listening to this. Oh, I don't know what to do with myself. And that is... Oh, great. Excellent. What a wonderful show, actually, between the rest of it. Also, the amount of cussing and shit stories that there is, and my mother's listening. Oh, God. Anyway... Can you all smarten up your act, please? Just a little bit. Now, That's it. We're done. There is a couple more shows to go. So, remember, we'd really love to hear about your birthday stories, tragic stories, about birthdays, shit presents, etc. You know, and also, if you want to pick up any of the conversations that have just emerged, splurged, or squished into the pants of the podcast this week, all you got to do, open up WhatsApp and send us a voice note to this number.
0788 200 3420. And support us on the Patreon and get backstage access to more knobheads like you.
Remember, we are a self-funded space and we do rely on your donations, so why not buy me a Bev? All right, sweet pea? And if you would love to do that, head to patreon.com/afterthetone. And we'd very much like to see you over there. Anyway, for all of us over here, we've had a lovely time. With love from me, Debbie, Tim and Maya. See you next week. I can't get over my mum's cold. God, I feel so embarrassed. Anyway, see you later. Bye.
After the tone, leave your message after the tone.
After the Tone is presented by me, Scotty, produced by Debbie Kilbride, vice producer Tim Bano, assistant producer Maya Miller-Lewis. ATT is a Debbie's production. Remember to like, follow or subscribe to catch us every Thursday.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.